Well, Lord, I just thank you for another wonderful day. Man, it's been an awesome day out there, Lord. And maybe a little warm for some people, but boy, I was right in my element. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we got everything done today that we needed to get done because you helped us out supernaturally, Lord. And I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night of fellowship, of testimonies, and praise reports to you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, that tonight you're going to give us the anointing. You're going to anoint everyone to speak and to show the glories of you, Lord, and what has transpired over the last few days. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your leading tonight. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to speak only as an oracle of God. And we praise you, Father, for all that you do in each one of us, holding us on that road of faith, Lord, and showing us how to act on that faith as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody got any prayer requests or praise reports or testimonies? Okay, Judy, go ahead. I can't hear you.
Now, can you?
A little now. Bit. A little bit. Now. Why don't you use your microphone like you did last week?
Okay, go get somebody else and I'll come back.
Okay. All right, Leon, go ahead.
Yeah, you prayed for me last week for that bird sanctuary inside my head.
Yeah.
The noise. And,
yeah.
But I just want to give God praise for healing me from that. And also I had a problem with itching. And you prayed for that before, not on the conference call, but before. Mm-hmm. And that is so much better. And then also that Salvation Instant Progressive that we're studying on Wednesdays, I got to tell you that that fourth chapter has given me a great new revelation of my authority in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I've overcome quite a bit that itching. So
amen.
I'm praising God for all the things he's doing, all the things he's showing me, and just the abundance of greatness that he's bestowing on me.
Amen.
It's amen. Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Okay, Judy, you ready?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Real good, too.
Okay, good. Good. Well, this morning when we had prayer time, we were praying for Lakeisha's brother who was in the hospital. And during that time while David was praying, I could see him in the hospital bed. He was covered with a white sheet. It was all white. But I saw all this smoke going up from his body. And I just thought that was all that evil stuff, the drugs, everything, just getting out of his body, Lord. I was just thanking the Lord for that. And I don't usually have those things. And I just thought that was really cool. So thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, now it's going to be a normal occurrence for you now.
Okay, I'll take that.
Just keep on believing, okay?
Okay.
Because that's going to be a normal occurrence. You thank God for doing it for you. And he'll continue to do it for you. Because
he wants us
to give him the glory for these visions and these things that he shows us. Praise God. Okay. Praise you, Lord. All right, anyone else? If anybody's on the phone and they want to talk, I think it's star 6. Is that what gets, I believe that unmutes you? and star 6 remutes you. So, all right, anybody else? Well, Father, I just come to you right now. I'm believing for a lot of things in my family, and I'm believing, Lord, that you have already handled it. And I'm resting in the knowledge, Lord, that I can put my trust in you to fulfill what your word says. You know, Leon's right. That chapter 4 in Salvation Instant and Progressive is an awesome testimony to God's greatness as far as backing up what his word says. And he did it all through scriptures, Lord. You've done it all through scriptures. You did it when David, as a teenager, stepped out there and spoke the end from the beginning to Goliath. Now, this is a little teenager, but he knew his God. He trusted his God. And he spoke it into he spoke what was going to happen to Goliath. He prophesied it, and it happened. And he was bold enough to stand out there in front of everybody, Lord, and show how strong you are when we do that. And I thank you, Father, that we have that same authority that King David did before he was ever king. He was just a little old snot-nosed kid. And he took down the biggest man on the block because he prophesied it. He knew and he trusted in the Lord God Almighty. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the same way, just like you did with Joshua. Joshua was just an old guy, didn't know a whole lot, but he knew God. And he stood up there in front of the whole tribe and commanded that sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. And what happened? They were just ordinary guys. They wasn't no somebody special. They were just ordinary guys, Lord. Now, Lord, I know that the same authority is in us. You're the same God yesterday as you are today. And forever, you said. And you're the same one. You do it today as you did back then. You'll do anything it takes for your believing people. And I'm talking about believers, those who believe and stand out by faith, Lord, to call those mountains and to make valleys out of those mountains that come before us because they're bold in their faith and their trust in you, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for the faith that you've given each one of us to believe what the word says. And I thank you, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we're going to get it. Just like we've seen week after week, night after night in these outreach conferences. People getting healed. People are getting saved. People are getting delivered. And we praise you for it, Father, because of the faith that you're placing in people's hearts to trust you, Lord. And that they know for sure that you're going to back them up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Yep, that is a powerful, powerful chapter in that Salvation Instant Progressive book. And I was just like Leon. I was on fire this afternoon, man. I was, tell you what, you can see that little old teenage boy standing up there and says, you come to me with a spear and a javelin and a shield, and I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to take your head off your shoulders right now. I'm going to smack you, and then I'm going to take your head off your shoulders, and not only that, we're going to feed them Philistines to the dogs. Glory to God. That's what he's, this little teenage boy. The rest of the Israelites is back behind him, hiding behind the rocks. But this little teenage boy sitting out there with a little old slingshot, and a rock, and God. That's all it takes. A slingshot, a rock, and God. And he took that giant down, and he defeated those Philistines. Praise God. And that, he's just an ordinary boy, just like me and you, Joshua, same way. Moses, same way. And that's the faith God wants us to have, is to trust Him. Have the faith to trust Him. Oh, praise God. Listen, we're fixing to see the same type of miracles here shortly, too. Because God's people are getting a hold of this faith message. And when you got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 13 together that believe the same, or 15 together that believe the same, ooh, you talk about some power now. Glory to God. There ain't no atomic power on earth can withstand the power of God. I mean, you can be standing out there and a neutron bomb explode right over your head and you just brush your dust off of you and go on and preach the gospel. Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen to some of us. It's this faith message that God's given us. Ooh, my. Man, I tell you what, I get fired up when I talk about God, because I know my God is big. I quit putting Him in the box a long time ago. I remember when the church that I got baptized in, they kept telling me that God doesn't heal anymore. And then I went to a little old bookstore and got healed by a little old spirit-filled man in a bookstore. Well, I knew right then that people lie in them churches. And so I went to studying the Word of God, and I started praying. At that time, I started praying right then. I said, Lord, don't allow me to be deceived by anybody. I'm going to rely on You to keep me from being deceived. And man, He'd take me from the sandbox. He took me up into preschool, and then He took me on up through high school. I'd get on out of high school and got into college and got out of college, and here we are, you know. We're right here today. Not that I'm anybody. I ain't nobody. But I know God. Y'all know God. And we all, knowing God, this is the most powerful group. This is probably one of the most powerful groups in the world right here, because of the faith that God has given us to believe that He'll answer our prayers when we pray. Ooh, glory to God. I tell you what, I got so fired up this afternoon. And just sitting there reading and reading the Word, too, and getting in the Word. And that's how your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears are opened, is through the Word of God. Then your whole spiritual attitude starts to change. And all this old junk that we call flesh starts dropping off of you. Starts dropping off of you. The anger that you used to have, the bitterness that used to be in your hearts, goes away. Because God's love has been placed in there, because you're faithful to God. You're faithful to read and study the Word of God. I'll tell you a good way to do it, too. That's to read it out loud. And it gets in your heart then, reading it and out loud. I know it sounds kind of funny, but I do it. I do it quite often. I do it kind of low so Kevin can't hear me. But I do it. Praise God. I do it. Because I know that's going to get in me. Sometimes I even listen to it on audio, you know. When I'm reading the Word of God, I read a lot, but I study a lot, too. But I like to read the Word and listen to it as well, because it gets into your heart. And praise God. Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
Hey, Michael. God bless you guys. I just wanted to add on, I do the same, because faith come by hearing. I take that literally.
Yep, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's how we do it. Hey, David. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to just share that last Tuesday you prayed with me for my blood sugar. So Thursday I didn't give a testimony because it wasn't any better. It was still high. But then started coming down. I've been having 100 readings in the mornings after fasting all night instead of 140-something or 160, which is not, well, it's just high. But you know, others have had it worse. So I see God answering. And I just want to get, you know, I just, you talked about being deceived and how deceived we can be by our feelings even and what we see and what we feel. And the enemy just wants me, and all of us, I know, wants to deceive us into thinking that, see, it's not working, God doesn't work. And but I know that's a lie. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. But so, because I've had still things going on with me, I've been in this rut with the doctors for a long time, you know, every 3 months, my checkup and all that. And now it's something else. Now I'm been really tired, and now my white blood count is down. I don't know why that would be, except for maybe the enemy. But I want prayer for that, and I'm believing for it. I would like that faith that we all have together. So that would be nothing.
Amen.
But
amen.
Prayer.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for placing bold faith in Debbie. And not only that, Lord, trust.
Thank you, Father.
The trust that she needs, Father, to trust you. And I ask, Lord, that you show yourself strong. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command those white blood cells to be at normal rate. I don't even know what they're supposed to be. But Father, you do, and I command that body to be healed and the white blood count to be normal in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she's healed of diabetes too. I thank you, Father, that fear has gone from her in the name of Jesus. The spirit of fear, you go in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and I command you to quit attacking her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Debbie is completely healed and delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
And restored as new in Jesus' name. And I believe it, and everybody in here believes it.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. You're going to check if you have your white blood count checked, it's going to be normal. That's going to be a sign. That's going to be a sign to you that you are healed completely. Okay? That's going to be the sign right there. That you're healed completely. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, that you're healed. And the white blood count is normal in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
I just want to say to Debbie that you're moving soon. So you don't have to go to a doctor ever again. You know it. That's right. Just forget about the doctors.
Yes. Yeah. I've been. Yeah.
All right, Judy.
Thinking the same thing.
You've been need to put your headset on, hon. We can't hear you. Turn your mic on. Nope. No, I can't hear you. I don't know what the deal is. Shake it. That'll make it well.
Hey, if she's got, if she doesn't have it plugged in all the way, there's probably two small.
Have you got it plugged in all the way, Judy? Okay. We can't hear you. I don't know what you did a while ago to make it work, but it worked great. What does that mean? I give up. I give up. Well, in the name of Jesus, we command that headset to work like it's supposed to. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Sorry, Judy. Are you using that little iPad you use? Bring it over in the morning. Well, yeah, at the Bible study. Bring that headset with you. Okay. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Got anything they'd like to share tonight? I'd like to welcome Johan from Stockholm, Sweden. Thank you, Johan, for showing up. He had to get up real early this morning. There's 6 hours ahead of us. Let's see, ahead of us? Yeah, ahead of us. Hey, Johan. Well, I don't know what's wrong. Can't hear you. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? All right. Let's see. We wanted to get into... There he is. Hey, bud. Yeah, we can't hear you. Can't hear you. There.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now it's working.
Yep. Working good, too.
Okay, my microphone was muted.
Okay, oh, you sound good. You sound good.
I have actually not slept yet, so I am waiting to go to sleep. I'm very late right now. It's okay. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
But I haven't, it's summer vacation right now, so it's okay.
Oh,
I can
awesome.
Sleep in the morning, so no problem.
Awesome. Well, you know, you see Joe Britt's over here. You see him, but he's in South Africa, so he's on the same time schedule as you
okay.
are. He gets up at 2 as well. Him and Nora. So praise God. What kind of weather you got up there?
You're asking Sweden?
Yes.
Yeah. We have summer weather, so it's not too warm. It's between 20 and 24 degrees Celsius, and that would be in Fahrenheit. Oh, I'm not so good at Fahrenheit. Perhaps 70,
okay.
perhaps. 70,
oh.
80.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was about 90 here. Fahrenheit, I don't know what Celsius is, so you have to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been. Thank you for coming on. We're glad to have you. Absolutely glad to have you. So we, is there anything you'd like to pray about, or would want us to pray about?
Not now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Thank you for joining us, brother. God bless you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to us for a while, Joe? John?
Sorry?
You've been listening to us for a while?
I started to listen 15 minutes ago. I'm trying to get my computer to work, so I wasn't too focused.
Amen. He gave me some good pointers on Franklin Hall stuff earlier, and I just invited him to come on to the conference call tonight. And praise God, he did. Thank you, Lord. And tomorrow I will. I had some on that Franklin Hall stuff I did last week on the broadcast. I had some concerns on a couple of items that Franklin Hall believed, and I addressed some of them, one or two of them on there, but, you know, anything that we put out, you have to back it up with the Word of God, and I put it out there specifically for the fasting part of it and the praying part of it, the rest of it, you know. Hall believed that fasting didn't include water. Well, it does, too. That's one of the things that happened that he... came against was fasting with water, without water, and didn't think that anybody could go over 3 days when, in fact, David's done it for 14 days, and I've read of a Chinese guy that went 75 days without water and food. So, you know, it's just depends. If God wants you to do it, you can do it, right? We can't put God in a box. It just doesn't happen that way. God can do anything he wants to. And there's a couple of other little things that you need to be aware of. One of them was he mentioned some New Age stuff in there about some meditation stuff. So just be aware of that kind of thing. All right, anybody else? And I appreciate it. How do you pronounce your name? Is it Johann or John? Do you pronounce it John?
In Swedish, it's Johan.
Okay.
But I was an exchange student in the States. I'm class of 82. So it's a few years ago. But people in the States usually call me John.
Okay. All right. But, well, you don't mind if we call you John, do you?
No, that's fine.
Okay. That's a good name. Well, all right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on or share? We've been studying predestination and got through a lot of it last week. And we talked about what predestination is, and we kind of got all that squared away and how that God does. He's the one that calls us. It's nothing we can do. I know I was a pure pagan when I came to Jesus. Pure pagan. They had no designs on coming to Christ. And then, you know, God changed me in a heartbeat. Just like that, he changed me. And a lot of people have been that way. And it's only one reason. It's because God has called you. He has chosen you and picked you. He called you to come to him. And we go to him. And then we talked about what it was to be called and elect. What the elect is. The elect, of course, is the invitation to accept, to abide in Christ, so to speak. And to mature Christ-like. To walk in Jesus' steps. To mature in Christ, so to speak. And by that, we lose the flesh. We separate from the world, and we do the things that God wants us to do. We lose our flesh, and we allow the spirit man to take over. And we more or less kind of talked about that a little bit. We talked about unconditional eternal security very little, and we thought we'd talk a little bit about that this week. So, has anybody got any thoughts on unconditional eternal security or once saved, always saved? I'm just going to drink my tea.
Well, like most doctrines of the church, there's no biblical reference to that.
No, they use they'll pick a verse and they'll run with it, because the people in the apostate churches, they like to feel comfortable in their sin. They don't like this holiness walk. Early on in my Christian walk, I had many people tell me that you can't walk a sinless life, when in fact in the Word of God that's what Jesus commands us to do. He said, be you perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's just one of many.
Right.
And I'd throw that back at them, you know, and they'd say, well, that doesn't mean now. That doesn't mean that. Means in the millennial. But no, it don't. It means right now. He said, be you perfect even as my, you know, and on and on and on. We got scriptures after scriptures after scriptures that tells us to abide in Christ, right? And so, anyway, that's where we are now, the unconditional eternal security. Does anybody want to comment on that? Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, what I think most churches have a problem with is understanding what God wants from them and understanding how to make this thing work. They think just by belonging to a congregation or whatever, that kind of helps them get noticed by God, I guess, become part of the body of Christ. But most aren't aware or understand how that body of Christ is supposed to work with them in order to ensure that they're saved, ensure that they're going to be part of the body of Christ. They just assume, well, I'll just follow everybody else and go along with it, and this must be how things are done. Instead of trying to find out what it is, these questions, what, like we're bringing up unconditional eternal security, rather than trying to understand what it means and whether or not that's what I'm being taught or just how it applies. And like you said, most people don't believe, or at least they're being taught, that you can't be perfect. And I've heard that. I've actually heard that. I heard a pastor say it, a senior pastor, you'll never be perfect. Well, and David said, you know, no, you will never be perfect in yourself. But with God, you can be. With God, you can walk in perfection. But by yourself, you could never do it. But by the grace of God, with the Holy Spirit baptism, and then trying to, you stay in the Word, and the Word's going to grow you up, and you become more and more mature, and the Lord will put more and more on you as far as what He expects out of you in that way. But it's a process that we all have to go through. But if you're not in, even in the gate, you're not even trying to run that race in the first place, you're depending upon God's goodness just to get through there, and not about you're cooperating and trying to manifest your perfection and run that race.
Amen. What's the race? Anybody tell me what the race is? Yeah, Judy. All right, I unmuted you.
She's writing you a letter.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, hon. All right. There she goes.
I'll answer for her.
Okay, what is the... Go ahead.
The race?
Yeah.
This is what Judy was going to say. The race is the going from faith manifestation. You start out by believing it in faith, and it progresses to manifestation.
Okay. What does?
Salvation, actually.
Sonship, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's maturing in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. 30, 60, 100 fold. That's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. If you don't mature in Christ, 30, 60, 100 fold, 29 and a half ain't going to cut it, is it? No, you're not. If you don't manifest Jesus Christ in your life, in your walk, and get rid of that flesh, get rid of that world away from you, and manifest the flesh, what does he say is going to happen? That's just like the person out there that just, you know, I heard a preacher here a while back say this. He said, you know how to get to heaven real quick? Do nothing. Just do nothing. That'll get you, to hell. He said the quickest way to get to hell is to do nothing. And that's what they're doing. They're sitting out there on their ticket that they got punched by the preacher, you know, thinking that they're doing it. And listen, that's the way we were too. So what we have to do is start praying for those people. Start praying that they even understand what faith is. They don't understand what faith is. Faith to them is this, that Jesus died on the cross. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf. That's what faith is to them. They don't understand calling those things that are not as though they were. They do not understand that. But the time is coming where faith is going to have to, they're going to have to grasp faith in order to live. And there's going to be a lot of them that do too. Praise God. It's going to be lot that don't, but there's going to be some that do, and they're going to grasp it, and they're going to be powerful men and women of God. because of it. They've been deceived. There's a lot of them out there that are looking that don't understand where to look. You know, they read the words. Just like me, I can remember being out there. I can read all these scriptures. I said, I got to be perfect. I tried to do it myself until I came on to the teaching, until God opened my eyes to see that it's not me that's doing it, that it's Jesus in me. It's the Holy Spirit in me that's taking that stuff out of me as I believe, and I have faith to believe that he's doing that. So praise God. We came into that realm of knowledge because we were persistent in our digging and working in the scriptures, you know, and finally finding out what it was to be to what saved is, you know, salvation is. Okay, anybody else?
Well, that was part of the race, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't know we were running the race, but we were.
That's right.
Because God was calling us. He was showing us. And we were running it unbeknownst to our own selves. But God was getting us to a place where we could actually have faith and take off from there.
Amen. Yeah. Some of us were running it backwards for a while, wasn't we? Praise God. He got us on the right track. And once we got on the right, yeah, Kurt.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, in Psalms, King David was, in one verse I remember that really inspired me was he was saying, call me and cause me to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, we, again, like you said earlier, you know, it ain't nothing in us. It isn't anything we do. It's him that's putting it in our heart to do. Anyway, that's my input, my two cents.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, talking about the race, he says, know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And the one who's going to receive the prize is who? That's Jesus in it. That's the Jesus in it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kurt. And if we're not abiding in Christ, then we're not going to receive the prize, will we? But we have to be abiding in Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:25, the next verse, it says, and every man that striveth in the gains exercise self-control in all things, not in just a few things. All thing, and that's important. If a person's not exercising self-control, they ain't going to be one of the chosen, are they? They're not going to be one of the elect. Now, they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible. That means we got to exercise self-control to get that crown, right? To win that race, we have to exercise self-control. And then verse 26, I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I, as not beating the air, but I buffet, now it's Paul speaking, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. That word rejected means reprobated in the Greek. And he knew that if he didn't keep his body in subjection, that he could be off and be reprobated himself, didn't he? So that just shot in holes all in that once saved, always saved. If Paul was having trouble with it and not understanding their once saved, always saved, he didn't preach that. He preached that it's a condition. It's a conditional walk that we walk. It's a salvation instantly in our spirit, and then we walk it out with fear and trembling in our soul, right? The Lord is taking our mind, our will, and our emotions and molding them into his mind, will, and emotions and getting rid of that old flesh thinking, that old fleshly thinking.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Could you elaborate maybe on self-control?
Yeah.
You know, just elaborate on it anyway.
Well, I can do a little bit of it. You know, self-control is when that temptation comes up. Let's say the Lord has told you to just pick something. It makes told you not to do something. And then that temptation, you know, or you know that it's wrong. You know it's wrong, but you keep, just like Paul, you're having trouble doing it, keeping it. You're having trouble making yourself not do that sin. And then you start asking the Lord, Lord, I'm having trouble with this. Let's take cigarettes, okay? Just throw it out there. You're having trouble breaking that addiction of cigarettes, and you keep sinning. That's not self-control. You're trying to quit, but that temptation to take another one is still there. But then you ask the Lord, Lord, take it away from me. I don't want it no more. And you really mean it. Guess what happens? He takes it away from you. Okay, you don't have that addiction anymore. That spirit of addiction is gone. But you eat breakfast. You get up in the morning and you eat breakfast. And you know what happens when you eat breakfast. After you eat breakfast, you have a smoke, you know. That temptation comes up. Now, there's where your self-control comes in. You know that you don't have that addiction anymore. It's gone. Now it's just your will. Okay, does that make sense? That's where the self-control comes in. You overcome because thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking that addiction away from me. I know I don't have to have that cigarette now. I'm just going to go on and do my job. You know, and that's what self-control is, in my estimation. Has anybody else got another explanation?
Jenny said, don't eat breakfast.
That's a good one, too. There you go. That breaks that cycle, doesn't it? Yeah. What about lunch?
Yeah.
Now we're getting into dieting here, aren't we?
Right.
And the Lord always provides a way of escape.
Yes.
And so we have to look for it and take it. When it, you know, whatever that way is, as like you said, you're trusting Him, you're trusting in His power to be at work in you, to be stronger than your own desire. You know, that's where that self-control.
Amen.
And His power is more powerful than. And so you have to trust in that by faith, and then he activates that within you, and then you overcome.
Yep. That's power to overcome that He's given us. That's good. Thank you. Glory be to God. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah, baby.
I also think what happens is He will take it away, and you'll have a period of time where He's in control, and you're not going to be tempted. You're going to be able to not have any difficulty with whatever it is you're having a difficulty with. It's gone. And then he'll start removing himself a little bit to see whether, and after you've had a chance to mature a little bit, read, get familiar, he is going to definitely give you a time of testing to see whether or not you're going to stand on by faith and walk on faith and believe that you're overcoming, or else are you going to go back into your old way. He has to test. He's going to see whether or not you're able to walk the walk.
Here's the deal. That's good. Thank you very much. Here's another deal. You've gone around the mountain 40 times already, and you finally figured it out that it's God that's got to do you. So you don't have to go around that mountain another time. And if you keep that path going around that mountain every time, and how much condemnation, how much all that stuff has cost you in the past, you know, I got this thing licked. I'm overcoming because the Holy Spirit done took that away from me. I'm walking this walk with Jesus, Lord of God, and I have gotten it. I am overcoming because I'm on the back of Jesus right now. And that's the way we look at it. That's the way you have to look at it.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Kurt.
I just think another thing. Probably one of the hardest things to do is forgiveness. To forgive someone that's done something to you, stolen money from you, or whatever it was, you know, an aunt or an uncle that treated you wrong, or, yep. You know. So somebody back in your childhood that did whatever they did, ridicule or whatever. I know that, for me, that was a tremendous thing to forgive.
Amen. Amen. Well, sometimes people are traumatized when they're kids, and it's hard to shake that loose from your heart. And that's why the Holy Spirit says, well, just let me do it. I'll do it. It'll be easy. Sometimes it's hard for us to even allow the Holy Spirit to do it because we like to hang on to that unforgiveness because we think that we deserve it. You know, we deserve that unforgiveness. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. You deserve, you know, all of us deserve the pits of hell. That's what we're, that's where we had been destined for until the Lord saw fit to choose us, to bring us into this wonderful world of the walk that He's got us on. So we need to be sure, like Kirk says, we need to be sure that there's no unforgiveness in our hearts at all, because man, that'll rob you of faith in a heartbeat. Not only that, that's a doorway to the enemy to come in and wreak havoc with you. Amen. Hey, Willie. Okay, anybody else on eternal security, unconditional eternal security? Well, we've just been talking a little bit about it. I hadn't gotten into it real deep yet. We understand what it is. Unconditional eternal security is when you believe that once you've, let's see, what is the term that they always use? It says, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And once you do that, your ticket's punched. You get baptized, then you start paying your tithes, and everything's cool with you and the pastor and Jesus. That's another gospel. And it's not in the Bible. What the Lord told us to do, He said to repent and believe. That's what He told us to do. And repent means to what? It means to change. Change from what you were doing, start doing what God wants you to do. And believe, He said to believe. Repent and believe. Believe what? Well, believe what the Word says, every bit of it. Well, I believe the gospel. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. No, you don't. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to these people in the churches. You don't either. You know? Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
If there was a such thing as unconditional eternal security, there's no place for the first or second commandment, period. You know, God wouldn't have to give you a spirit of power, love, or discipline. In fact, you wouldn't even need the Holy Spirit. You got unconditional eternal security. You know, Christ did it all. He just walked in for you, and, you know, all you have to do is just, you know, ride His tailcoat. You can live like a sinner and just say, God, forgive me. And, you know, you got full access into the kingdom after that. You know, that's unconditional eternal security. You know, it's a fable. Makes absolutely no sense. You'd have to negate every single thing in the Bible. Everything. I mean, everything. Anything that deals with love, you know, anything that deals with Christ, you know, why He suffered on the cross, you know, all that stuff would have to be erased. You know, if it's unconditional, there's no conditions. You know, might as well say, you know, there's no God, and almost in a sense. But hey.
Well, a loving God, they say, well, God is love. Well, of course He's love, but He's also a wrathful God too. And all through the scriptures, He chastened His people. He reprobated a whole bunch of them out there in the desert, for goodness sake. And to say that once saved, always saved, It's just people that are ignorant of the Word of God, and it's false preachers, false prophets that are spewing that out in order to justify their existence and their sin. I've known of in the past many, too many to even think about that ran off with the other women while they were pastoring a big church. And it's just, you know, sin's okay. It's okay. You know, everything. And they go get another church. There's no accountability in that gospel. What happens when that unconditional eternal security gets in you? That opens a whole new realm of other sins. There's other stuff that you can't believe too. You know, you can't believe that the Holy Spirit helps you to overcome, because why would you need to overcome? Preachers tell you that you've gotten everything you're going to get from Jesus. I mean, that's it. You're not getting no more. Well, that's crazy. Go ahead, Willie.
That type of thinking, you know, doesn't allow you to exercise, you know, faith. Mm-hmm. Doesn't allow you to exercise any of the promises of Christ in your life. But one thing I found interesting, you made a comment about, you know, he reprobated, you know, everyone in the desert. And I remember the fiery serpent when the Lord, you know, because I was thinking, I was like, man, what happened to him for 40 years? And, you know, he says he brought the serpents. And then the Lord showed me, he was like, you're thinking of like physical snakes, although, you know, some of them got bit by physical snakes. They turned back to the old gods, you know. They turned back to the way of the Egyptian those 40 years. They got bit by the fiery serpent, you know. That's that reprobate mind. The mind, you know, it says that the tongue is a consuming fire. That's what happened to their minds, you know. I just found that interesting, you know, concerning the fire circuit.
Okay. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace," what? "To reveal his son in me." That's what he's called us to do, is to reveal his son in us. And he uses that analogy of being separated from his mother's womb, and that describes that old dead religion that he was in, that he's now out of, because God woke him up, didn't he, when he smacked him off that donkey out there. You know, don't we all wish that had happened to us years and years and years before it actually did? I do. I wish God had slapped me off my donkey back when I was 15. You know, but he didn't do it. I had to go through some stuff. A long period of stuff. And I just praise God that he had the grace and the mercy to wait on me, or to get me ready to receive him. Amen. And then verse, backing up to 14, he says, "And I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of my own age among my countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it was the good pleasure," here we go, "of God, who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me." We got to come out of that church that we was in. That's what he wants us to do, and we all have. In order for a person to prove that they are elect or chosen, we need to bear the fruit that God is coming to pick, right? And, you know, David says it so eloquently when he says, God ain't coming to pick a green tree. He's coming to pick the fruit, the right fruit off the tree. That's what he's coming for. He's coming for the fruit. He's not coming for the tree. He's not coming for the green fruit either. He's coming for the ripe fruit, the ones that are mature, the ones that have done and overcome the world and the flesh. Praise God. All right, somebody else talk a little bit.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon.
Yeah, there's many places in the Bible where it says if.
You know, one of them is John 8:31. Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that had believed him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And I know there's quite a few verses that say if. So that's a condition.
Amen. He says in 2 Peter 1:10, here's an if too, Marla. He says, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never stumble. There's another condition. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? First John has a bunch of stuff in there. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
We have to remember what that if stands for, too, eh? Like, sometimes you can read those words like if and should and may, and you can get a little bit afraid there. So that if has to be, those words, when they come up, when you're sometimes reading the Bible, you have to remember that this is all done through faith, and that's faith that's given to you by the Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith. So you see, there's four things you're getting there in that verse, and in 3:12 of Ephesians, and you have to arrive at that as the Lord gives it to you. But as for the unconditional eternal security, I always remember what it says in Philippians chapter 3, what Paul said, the apostle, in verse 12 also, not that I have already received or am already made perfect, but I follow on, if so be that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended by Christ Jesus. And even the next verse says, brethren, I reckon not myself yet to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting the things behind and stretching forward for those before, I follow on toward the mark unto the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I always like, even like the small two-letter word there, in, I always like to say that stands for, the I stands for in, and the N stands for new life. That's you, in new life, Christ Jesus. And even the if has an I in it, which is the in faith, new life. So
that's good. That's good. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. There's all kinds of scriptures in there that talks about the true gospel, tells us what the true gospel is. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Then backing up to Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Now there's the gospel. We all have those things by faith, don't we? All of us have those attributes of Christ by faith, and we're all learning to walk like that too. Fruit is what God is choosing, and choosing means elect. That means chosen. That's the chosen he's looking for. All right, anybody else? What about it, Missy?
Well, I was thinking about what I was talking about the name being in the Book of Life and how that seems like it's similar related to predestination and everything, okay? And okay. My mind hurts thinking about this, and I don't completely understand it. Because, okay, if your name is in the book from the foundation of the world, okay, which means you're, that's related to being predestined, right? Okay. So, and if it can be taken out, because we know God did everything before the foundation of the world, okay? So if it's written in and it can be taken out, I can't grasp that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, somewhat, yeah.
Can you explain that?
Predestination? Well, here's the deal. He wrote us in.
If it's in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world, but it can be taken out.
Mm-hmm. How can it be taken out?
Yeah, it's like...
I'm going to try to walk you through it. How can it be taken out?
Well, because you don't bear enough fruit.
Okay.
That's the one major reason.
That's one of the ifs, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. See, but because I'm thinking, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Okay, the Lord.
Oh, Lord, help us.
God did. I know. I'm thinking. okay, if he wrote your name in from the foundation of the world, okay, then he also took your name out at the foundation of the world too. So it's like, I'm just like trying to wrap my mind around this. Okay, he writes it in, and then right after that, he writes it out. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't get it. My mind.
Well, what happens is if you're not bearing fruit, if you're just treading water, so to speak, mm-hmm. Then you're not meeting the conditions. There's a covenant, right? There was a covenant made with God and us. It's a twofold covenant. It's one that we have something to do, right? Our job is to have the faith. And the great thing about this walk that God has us on is if you're truly wanting to know God and know him the way he wants us to know him, you're going to be running after him with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, right? You should be. But what happens is people get caught up in religion or in false teachings, and they get complacent in their walk with Christ. And when you get complacent, that's a dangerous thing. When you get complacent in your walk with Christ, you're not doing all you can to abide in Christ. All the commandments he told us about in 1 John and in John, to abide in him, goes out the door because I can't do it because the preacher told me I couldn't do it. And therefore, you're not bearing fruit. You're not doing your part of the covenant. And your part of the covenant is to have faith, and God gives you the faith, and then you are to act on that faith. How? By confessing it with your mouth or walking it out, one or the other. Or both. So you have to have a condition. Your part of the covenant has to be met as well as God. God's going to keep his part. If you don't do your part, your name is out.
Okay, now, okay. So this is what I think the Lord just showed me. Okay. Everyone who is called is written in the Book of Life, mm-hmm. but not everybody that is chosen is going to stay in the Book of Life.
No, you got it backwards. Everyone who is called has been written in the Book of Life. And those that are chosen are the ones that keep it in the book of life.
Yeah, I thought that's what I said. Maybe I didn't explain it right.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's what you meant, that's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All that are called are written in the book of life, but the ones that are chosen stay in the book of life. They don't
that's
get
right.
taken out.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
So my Eastward Bible, and this is what God kind of opened up real quick for me.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had it down. All right, this is what the Lord just gave me with Eastward. I wasn't asking for it, but he just gave this to me. It might fit a little bit what we're talking about. Took me to 1 John chapter 5, beginning at 13. It says, that you may know. These things I have written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. If any man sees his brother in a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. This is a sin. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he should pray for it. Then he goes on to say, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. We know that whoever is born of God sins not, but he who is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So, you know, if you can be called, but that doesn't mean you're going to be overcome sin. The people that are elect are going to be overcomers, and they're going to get their prayers answered because they are overcomers. And they're going to know the true God and the true Jesus Christ. They're going to know the true salvation. Everybody else that doesn't fall in that category and doesn't repent and get in that race that we're talking about is probably not going to be in the kingdom. And I don't want to say that for sure, but going by what I'm reading here, you're not going to be a sinner. You're going to be an overcomer. You're not going to be in unrighteousness.
All right. Anybody got any comments?
I want to comment on your complacency statement. What that is Jesus called it being not hot, not cold, but what do you call that?
Lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Right. That's right, lukewarm. And what did he say he'd do? He'd spit it out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. That's what being complacent is.
And, who made the complacency statement?
I'm sorry?
Who made the complacency statement?
Michael made that.
Complacency in your walk with Christ is what I was talking about.
Right.
Too many people are doing that. Amen, Leon. Anything else?
You know, I gather if you can say people are complacent, it's because they're under that understanding of unconditional eternal security in a way. That's
yeah.
What, even though they might not believe it, they're saying that's what they believe. That's kind of what they're believing.
Well, all of those unconditional eternal security people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, where they won't have to have faith to go through the tribulation, you know. And that's another error that they get themselves into. So these picking and choosing these scriptures kind of gets you, leads you into a lot of trouble with the Word of God. And we just have to pray for these people. You know, we know that our salvation is in the Lord Jesus. 1 John 5:11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath the life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. And if a person abides in the Son, then they've got that eternal life. And if they don't abide in him, then they don't have that eternal life. You can be called and not chosen. Like Missy was talking about, these people, those are the people that are called, but they're not abiding in Christ. The true Christians are partakers of a heavenly calling. In verse 6 of that Hebrews chapter 3, it says, but Christ, as a son, over his house, whose house are we? Now here's a condition that Marlon was talking about. If we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. And that's God's encouragement to us to walk by faith and to continue to walk by faith, to prove to everybody around us whose house we belong to, right? That's what we talked about when we first came on tonight, is that bold, that great and bold faith to believe God, just like King David did when he, as a teenage boy, ran up there against Goliath. He's just another boy, just another teenage boy, but he believed God. Just like Joshua. We talked about Joshua when he went out there and he declared in front of the whole tribe, sun, you stop right now in Jesus' name. Moon, you stop right now, right where you at. That's just an ordinary man doing the same thing. And that's the authority he's given us too. And it's going to be quite evident in the days ahead who's got that authority and who doesn't. And the people are going to come to you and say, hey, wait a minute. I got a question. You know, they're going to ask, where did you get that? And you'll be able to tell them. Well, it's right in the Word of God, man. Let me show you Mark 11:24. Let me show you John 14:14. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let me show you all of these scriptures that tell who you are. Luke 10:19. Let me show you where your authority is, brother. And then you'll be able to disciple them. You'll be able to tell them how they can be a chosen vessel of God rather than just one of the called. Like David says, the caller is just an invitation to come and partake of Christ. You know, I those perfection through Christ Bible study, and that how shall we die? That's another one that shows us how to live. Those good studies. We have to hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Unto the end of what? Well, unto the end of your life. That's the race. He's got us in a race. Praise God. You got to be in the race. You can't be on the sidelines looking and watching the race. You got to be in the race. How am I going to get in the race? Just start believing and start reading the Word of God and showing abiding in Christ. Unconditional eternal security is a false presumption that'll send a lot of folks to hell. That's just like the pre-tribulation rapture. That'll send a lot of people to hell. And I'll tell you why that unconditional eternal security will do that. It's because they believe that they can take the mark. They can. I've heard preachers, leadership, preachers talking and preaching and teaching that you can take the mark and still make it to heaven. That's crazy. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Morrow had the news on tonight, and I was sitting on the sofa with him, and I wasn't really watching it a whole lot, but my ears perked up when I heard this. There's an employer, I forget where it's at, but they, for the sake of convenience, they're offering chipping their employees so that when they buy snacks, all they have to do is scan it. When they clock in, all they have to do is scan it. All these different things. And you know, and they asked this employer, well, what did they what did your employees think about it? And he said, well, they balked at it at first, but after they thought about it a few seconds and I explained a few things to them about it, then most of them are for it. They want to do it. But it's an optional. It's not something that they're demanding that they do. And then they were then the news people mentioned about how you know it's the future, you know, this microchipping thing, which we know is the mark of the beast. they were mentioning about different ways that it's going to be used, like all with your health records, it's going to be all on that chip, and you know, a couple different other ways. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I said to Merle, I said, that is the mark of the beast. I said, oh my gosh.
Well, what they're doing, they're acclimating people to that. You know, it may not be the mark of the beast yet, but they're acclimating people to this chip and getting them accustomed to it so that it won't be a big deal. And that's listen, pre-tribulation people, here's how they're going to be deceived. They hadn't been raptured out of here yet, so it can't be the mark of the beast, can it? And they're going to go ahead and take that mark. Not knowing, because they didn't have the gumption to get up and open up their word of God and find out that it's Christ in you that goes to heaven, not your old sinful flesh that's going to heaven. Yeah, Dave.
Isn't the mark of the beast reprobation in a sense? I mean, not because you took the mark, but because you're already reprobate. There's going to be some kind of reprobation to the person in the first place.
Well, yeah, you're going to have the mark of the beast across your forehead because you're completely sold out to the world anyway. You know, you're a worldly Christian. There's no such thing as a worldly Christian. Andrew.
So the mark of the beast, that's in Revelation 13:16. I always like to say, go back to Exodus 13:16, and there's a description of a practice the Jewish people used to do there. And what they used to do there was they took a little box and they put a scripture verse in it and they wrapped it around their hand. And they also did this with a box around their forehead. This was a physical practice for them. Just as we have this spiritually through the Lord, and you are epistles of Christ or letters of Christ, but it's written with the Spirit of God in you, in your heart, and that's how it's in you. You know, the Lord puts it in you. He writes it in there, and we follow it. And so the practice the Jew used to do in the book of Exodus 13:16 was he put his favorite scripture verse maybe in his hand there, and the works of his hands would be according to the word of God, and the works in his mind would also be in accordance to the word of God. And this is how we have faith in this for our mark in our forehead and our works with our hands. And that's what we need to believe. We have to come into agreement with him all the time. This is an almighty God, an almighty being. You never met anyone who's almighty until you talk to him. And you have to remember that he comes to you as a loving God, a merciful God, and a gracious God. And even for some of us, he comes to us in pity for us, which is mercy to its greatest extent, you know, because he wants to see everyone saved. He's got a desire there. An almighty God has a desire that everyone be saved. And we have to step in line, and everybody kind of wants to make their happy Father happy. And he did exclaim that he was well pleased in many people, And of course he was well pleased in the Lord, and we are to abide in the Lord. That's it.
Amen. Well said. Yeah, that was the type in the shadow for us, spiritually speaking. And they tied those verses on their forehead and on their hands. Renewed mind of Christ and also the works of Christ.
Praise hey, Michael.
God. Yeah, Kurt.
I was thinking, too, that, you know, the mark is going to be a physical mark during the time, I guess, in the middle of tribulation, tribulation to that's the only way that you would be able to buy, sell, or trade. And I believe the ones who haven't been walking according to the Bible, you know, with the mark in our forehead and our hands, spiritually, it's going to be, you know, that's what I think I've heard from David's teachings, that are going to be the absolutely ones that take that mark. It's because they won't be able to trust the Lord in the tribulation for their needs to be supplied.
Amen. And that's why God has encouraged us to go ahead and start living by faith now rather than waiting until the tribulation comes. It's going to be 10 times harder during the tribulation to have faith than it is right now. Right now is the time to start exercising faith. And you know, you can do it in small ways, big ways. You know, I started out big. I did. I said, if God can heal me, he can heal anybody. Glory to God. And it didn't make me any difference. I'd lay my hands on anybody I could. And, I was just kind of ignorant in my walk. But that's the way I was until I finally figured it out that they got to be saved and feel, you know, saved anyway before they can receive and keep their healing. And, God's a big God. He meets us where we are. Praise God. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I think it was Marlon who read a verse earlier. I'm going to read down a little bit farther in John 8.
All right.
I heard the 8:31, and it said, so Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They said, we are the descendants of Abraham, they said, and we have never been anybody's slave. What do you mean by saying you will be free? And Jesus said to them, I am telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave does not belong in a family permanently, but a son belongs there forever. If the son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoever you're a slave to.
So he was making the distinction there, wasn't he?
Yes, being in the son. But if someone is living in sin and makes that their habit, then they're not going to dwell in God's house permanently. They will be as a slave, and not as a son. But a son is one who is set free from that sin, and overcomes it. And they will abide in the house forever.
Amen.
I would say the majority of church today do not understand that being set free. They have not experienced that. I don't know if they can believe for it. They haven't been told how to believe for that. I didn't know until I started coming across UBM. And once I received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was also probably re-energize the Spirit of Christ that was in me in order to walk like Christ. Until you have that, you're not going to be able to walk without sinning. You know, they're not going to be able to do it because they're still walking on their own. They're walking in the flesh.
Amen. Well, you know, early on when I found out that God would heal, did heal, I started listening to people who taught that healing. I taught faith, and one of them was Kenneth Hagin. I just, you know, voraciously consumed all that I could of his stuff. And I knew, man, I knew, you know, that I could walk a sinless right life. I knew that. I couldn't put the scriptures together like David did, but I just knew, you know, that we could walk that away by faith. And then, of course, when I got into David's teaching, the sovereignty of God, which was a revelation to me, you know, then it all started coming into place. I want everybody to lift your hands toward Missy right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Father, that she is healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that she has completely been healed. No more headaches, no more backaches, no more depression, no more oppression. And we thank you, Father, that you've already done this for her in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. Judy does.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for agreeing, everybody.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
It's been done way long time ago, 2,000 years ago, even from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah. This walk is not a easy walk, as all of you know. You know, sometimes we get to a plateau that we don't want to go anymore. That's when God wants us to press in, and He wants us to press in. I've gotten to that plateau before, and I just, man, gosh, Lord, not no more. Good gracious, you know, I've been beat down. I've been, you know, good gracious. I mean, you got to go to hell, get any lower than I am. Good gracious, you know. But then you start believing, you keep on believing until God takes that thing away from you, that whatever it is, and you break through. And it is, and you wondered why you kept it so long after you break through. Praise God. Okay, I've just went off on a rabbit trail. Okie doke. What about it? Hebrews 3:12. Listen to this one. We're warned, aren't we? Take heed, brethren. That's the saved people. That's God's people. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Well, right there, wonder what happens when they read that part. Unconditional eternal security. We can see right there that person can fall away. Lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. And then verse 14. For we are become partakers of Christ if, come on, that's the condition, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. You have to keep holding on to it. You have to grab it and hold on to it and keep going, keep going, keep going. We're partakers of God only if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence unto the end. We have to hold off all the way through.
I just wanted to realize that it's okay to struggle to get there. It's okay to toil. So, and like Michael was talking, you know, just because you haven't arrived doesn't mean you don't get back on in the race and keep on trying, keep on striving to stay in that race and move forward. Don't look upon failures as being a failure, because if you're still in a race, you're going to continue to try to succeed. You're going to continue on. You're going to look at it, okay, I got to keep moving forward here. That's the person that's going to be in the race, the one that doesn't quit, the one that doesn't give up, doesn't let go.
Comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good evening. This is Mike from Fort Lauderdale. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to see you, brother.
Good evening. I'd like to give you a report and ask a question as well and make a comment on what we're discussing.
Yeah, go right ahead, brother.
Very well, thank you. And thanks for everyone for praying for Brother Perry. He did go to be with the Lord Sunday morning, but we're resting on Matthew 10:8 in the raising of the dead. There has been documented cases where the Lord has brought people back from the dead. I'm sure you all know that. So we just hope that you all continue to pray for the family and pray that a miracle happens at the funeral later this week. My question is, Michael, and you're very wise from your perspective, with all of us praying so hard for this pastor with a unique ministry who's given his whole life to the service of the Lord, and he didn't make it out of this coma. What do you say to Christians that may wonder how this could happen and why the prayers didn't work? At least not as of tonight. Anything could happen. The Lord could regenerate his body and get him out of that casket.
Well, that's just it. That we continue to have faith. If you want to have faith to raise him from the dead, then bless God, that's what we'll do. We'll pray and we'll believe God that he'll raise Pastor William Perry from the dead. That's happened time and time again in the past. And I'll tell you something else. Don't believe for 1 minute. Now, this is going to blow some of his mind. Don't believe for 1 minute, even if they put him in the ground, that he can't come back. You remember what happened when Jesus was resurrected?
Amen.
I believe that's a type and a shadow of what's going to happen again. So don't put past God to do that. Okay.
Right.
We're going to believe. Yeah. We're going to believe. You want to pray or you want us to?
Well, you all are welcome, and we thank you for praying on your own, but I will render a prayer to the Lord in the presence of this great group tonight. Thank you for your support and your offer. Lord, we lift up right now immediately the Perry family, because Pastor Bill is with you, and I'm sure it's glorious. I know it's glorious, but from our position, my wife and myself, we're unsettled because we think the Lord spoke to us saying that Brother Perry was concerned for his wife, who's now enduring the loss of a second husband prematurely. And Lord, this woman is a warrior. She's a nurse by trade. She helped counsel young women to keep their babies and not abort them. And the whole family is deep rooted in their love and respect for you, Lord God. So I can only fathom what they're going through, knowing that they've lost their father and husband much too early with an amazing ministry with so much to do. Another ministry he had, Michael, which I didn't convey to you, was every year they host Chinese students from Penn State University that come down here on a bus tour, and he coordinates that with the minister on campus, and these kids are unchurched kids. They really have no education as far as God in China. They're not Buddhist. They're not Muslim. They're not Christian. They're not Jewish. They really don't even have any concept of what God is. So they're really open to hearing the gospel. And many of us offer our homes to one of the students, and they stay with us for 3 days, and we take them around and we give them the gospel. And Brother Perry's been heading this mission up for many, many years. Wow, we've been participating for about 6 years. And it's probably been going on much longer than that. Now we're afraid that this will die. And these Chinese graduate students, most of them very smart kids, won't have a resource. So that's another component to this prayer, that we must have Brother Perry back, because I don't know who can take this on and do it as eloquently and meticulously as he's done it for all these groups coming out on the bus tour. So, Lord, we lift that aspect of Brother Perry's ministry up to you as well, and he's an integral component and touched so many lives. Oh, my goodness. Lord, we need this warrior back. We need this administrator of the gospel back. So we're going to lift up this prayer to you and thank you for what's about to happen, an amazing resurrection, a second resurrection, if we can call it that, of a great man. And that would be Brother Perry at the private family funeral at the end of this week. And we thank you, Lord. We honor and we're humbled to be in your presence, and thank you for what you have done and will do for us individually, for all Christians, and for the Perry family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Lord, I'll bring to you remembrance of that pastor over in Africa.
That's right.
You raised from the dead, Lord, after 3 or 4 days there. Right. And he was filled with
embalming fluid.
And Father, changed that into blood, and you breathe life into him. You could do the same thing for Brother Perry in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you're going to do that. And Lord, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until then. You could do it any time. He could wake up and walk out of that mortuary.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we're not going to put you in a box, Lord. Ever how you want to do it, that's fine with us. But we're praying the prayer of faith right now to believe that you're going to raise him from the dead. And Father, while he's on vacation up there with you, I ask that you step up the call for whoever you've got in mind to take his place, to take some of this work off of him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that person is stepping forth right now to claim and to hold the responsibility that you've given them for these Chinese students, Lord. Their lives depend upon it. And we know, Father, that you're not going to let them slide through the cracks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does everybody here believe what we just prayed? In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that man is raised from the dead to once again do the work you've called him to do. But, Lord, I know that you've got him up there instructing him right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory be to God. All right, anybody else want to pray?
Can I tell you a story about that African pastor?
Sure, yeah.
My wife's a former journalist and broadcaster on Christian radio here in Miami. She was very well known for many years. She headed up a group called Master Media at the local South Florida branch. And we went to a Bible study at our local church about 7 years ago or so. And the two gentlemen that produced a documentary, and what was the name of it, Yuri? The Lazarus Project, were in the Bible study as guest speakers. And after they spoke about the Lazarus Project, my wife convened with them at their production studio in Coral Springs, Florida, near us. And the gentleman, Johan, the owner of the production company that did produce the film, knew the pastor personally and was there. And they wheeled in the casket, and the deacons put... I'm getting corrected by my wife. What happened?
He had heard the story and went to Africa.
Oh.
To personally... He heard the story and went to Africa to personally... speak with the man that embalmed the pastor. He said he wouldn't put anyone on this documentary unless they could produce a death certificate, which they did. And he just spoke to a lot of people. I said, because I'd heard about this pastor being raised from the dead after being embalmed like 2 years before I met the producers of this documentary. And I had asked God to confirm that story, that testimony. I wanted to make sure it was true. So
here these guys show up at our Bible study, and they when I went to pray at their in their boardroom with them for them, because Master Media International is an outreach ministry to media leaders. So that's what we do. We try to connect with unsaved media leaders and show them that there's a market for faith-based programs and movies. And in the process of connecting with them, hopefully share the gospel with them. So, and we pray for Christians and media because it's a very hostile environment for media people that are believers in Christ. It's very hostile in the secular media market and industry. So when they loaded me up with a bunch of DVDs that they had produced, the one I picked when I got home was the one called Lazarus Project. And lo and behold, there was the testimony, all the documentation. I called Johan after I watched it and I said, hey, do you still know this pastor? He goes, yeah, we've become friends. I personally went to Africa, spoke with him, connected with all the people involved to confirm the story. And there was another fella on that same documentary that was a surfer who was night diving in New Zealand or Australia, and he swam into a school of man o' war and was sustained multiple stings where he was passing out, and Christ came to him at that time. He said he was still friends with that guy too. So I never personally got to speak with them, but he said I have all their contact information and we still speak from time to time. So I thought that was so astounding, and I had forgotten that story. And when I was praying for Bill, the Lord quickened it to me. So I said, okay, you know what? This is nothing for God. God created all of creation by just speaking a word. He took and made amazing things out of nothing. And so this is nothing for him to raise Bill up. Nothing for the Lord to do that. So we're just standing there until God tells me otherwise. I'm not going to stop praying.
Amen.
So I thank you for all of you for your faith and for your just being consistent to keep on keeping on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, listen, we're still believing for a lady that died a year ago or over a year ago to come back, and I guarantee she's going to, because God told us time and time and time again, over and over and over again, that she's coming back. We're still believing, so we don't give up in our belief system just because it hadn't happened. It didn't happen yesterday. We keep on believing because God said, okay, God said. And if God said it, it's going to happen. Praise God. So if he told you it's going to happen, Yuri, it's going to happen, girl. I'm telling you, Bill Perry's going to be raised up. He's getting instructions right now. He's going to tell us some stuff. Talking about that pastor over in Africa, the most fascinating part of that whole thing to me was this. It said, of course, you know that the Lord took him to hell and showed him because of his unforgiveness toward his wife. And when he came back, he said when there seemed to be a little bit of friction fixing to start between them, he'd turn around and head for the bathroom and lock the door because he didn't want to go to hell. He didn't want any unforgiveness in his heart. And that told me how a little bit of anger can work itself into unforgiveness. He was that fearful of God, and that's the fear of God that we all ought to have. Praise God. No unforgiveness. None. It'll take you straight to hell. All right. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes. Well, I don't want to usurp anybody's time, but I'd like to make a comment that ties into the tenet of our belief system, which is faith. And hope and belief. And this also ties in with your earlier discussion, which I came on late, regarding this chip, this company in Wisconsin. I believe that is 50 volunteers of the company offered to take the rice kernel, which my wife actually knows a developer. He's here in Boca Raton, Florida, and it's going between the thumb and the forefinger. But I'd like to hear what you say on it. And also, last week, one of your callers talked about losing salvation. And I didn't want to get back on the call to make a comment, but once saved, always saved. We're saved by grace, not by works. You can't give back your certificate once you cross the line and accept the Lord, even if you sin. But the young lady seemed to feel you could lose your salvation. I'll be willing to mute out and listen to your comment on it. Maybe I misconstrued something, but as far as the taking the mark, obviously the Bible directs us not to take the mark, and that would be a personal decision, but it doesn't mean if you did take the mark and you were born again that you lose your salvation. You still have a free ticket in. And if you're an ignorant person and you take the mark and then accept the Lord, you still get the free ticket in. Would you agree?
If you're ignorant to the fact, once you take the mark, the only way that you can take the mark and still be assured of heaven is if they force the mark upon you. I wish you had been here first earlier, because we have been discussing all night long the fallacy of once saved, always saved. Matter of fact, we've gone through numerous scriptures tonight. Maybe you can download it and listen to it as far as unconditional eternal security and how that it's been taught in the scriptures that there are conditions that we have to meet. There are ifs that we have to make. We have a covenant with God. It's a two-way covenant. God does his part, and we do our part. And without having to go back into what we've already discussed tonight, I would recommend that you go back and listen to tonight's broadcast or the conference call, and either that or go on site, on David's site, on UBM's site, and look up destructive demon doctrines. And there's a chapter in there called Unconditional Eternal Security that David really goes through the scriptures, scripture by scripture, and shows us that we are a two-part covenant and not just a one part. It's not just up to God, it's up to us too, our walk with Christ. So I'm sorry that you didn't get to come in earlier to, because I know you're going to have a bunch of questions with some scriptures that we need to go over. Maybe next week, or what's today? This is Tuesday. Maybe Thursday night, if you'd like to come on and talk about some more about unconditional eternal security, we can go over that as well, again, scripture by scripture, and just show you and walk you through it, walk people through it. Because it is, what happens, Michael, is when you get that unconditional eternal security spirit, and it is, because what it does, it opens up other areas of error in the scriptures. All the word has to line up together. If it doesn't line up together, if the word and your and our tradition, say, or our religion, does not line up in totality with the Word of God, then which is wrong, the Word of God or our religion or our tradition? And that's why all that God told us, that all the scriptures have to line up, not just one or two of them, but they all have to line up. And with unconditional eternal security, it doesn't do that. Jesus talks about the branch that was broken off because of unbelief. That's one way you can lose your salvation, is unbelief. And so without going too deeply into it, would you like for us to speak about that Thursday night again? We can, you know, you can ask questions or...
Yes, understood. And my wife and I led a home Bible study for a few years, and this question came up a number of times with experienced believers, and she's had on her talk shows over the years some really big-hitting theologists. I won't drop any names, but the ultimate question is, was the person really saved?
Okay, here's a question for you, or here's a statement that I'm going to make to you. Every instance in the New Testament where it's talking about the called, okay, it's talking about people who were already saved. It's talking about brothers in Christ. So that word called and elect means this: God has called his saved people to partake of Christ. And he told them to partake of Christ 30, 40, or 60, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And just throw that out there to give you something to look at. The call.
I understood, already, but here's the.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Thank you. I understand that, but here's the ultimate dilemma for believers and people that say they're believers. At what point do you give back your salvation? Do you tell one white lie? Do you put a candy bar in your pocket? Do you look at your neighbor's wife and you lose it? Was that person really under new management? Were they really born again? Because once you get the certificate and it's stuck to your hands with Gorilla Glue, you can't get it off. What if you do something wrong? I mean, well, where does it go back? Where do you give the certificate back? Where do they peel your skin off and take it back? That's a very important theological question. Would you agree?
I agree, and here's the answer. Okay? We don't remember what Paul told us. I'm way out of time. I'll tell you what. Remember when Paul talked about buffeting his body? You also remember when he talked about he sinned, he couldn't help but sin, and he had to sin, you know, and it's, what am I to do? And then he said, Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the one that takes our sin away. God is the one that does that. As we walk this walk of abiding in Christ out, and we're out of time. I'm so sorry that we can't get into this. We can go over it again Thursday night, and you have your questions, and hopefully we'll have some answers for you. It is a good discussion, Mike. It's not something that a lot of people understand, but it's all by faith. Yeah. Our walk is by faith, and walking that faith out as well. So, with that, anybody, let me ask if anybody needs prayer before we go. There is another good book. I'm going to throw it out there, too, Mike. It's called Salvation Instant and Progressive that David wrote, and it's full of scriptures and tells you about the salvation experience and what it is to walk that salvation experience out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for opening up our mind's eyes and our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear and to see what you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that the truth of the gospel is coming out in these last days. We thank you, Father, for people like Michael and Yuri who want to know the truth, who are striving for the truth. And, Lord, we thank you for the bold faith that you've given them. We praise you, Father, for that. Glory be to God for bold and great and bold faith that they have. And we thank you, Father, that this Pastor Perry is going to be raised, resurrected, and he's going to have a story to tell. He's going to tell us. He's going to set the record straight on your love for us, Lord. And we thank you for it. Father, we ask and we pray that you work through us the next few nights that when we come together, we'll all have new revelations and new testimonies to tell about, and new praise reports to speak to tell us about, Lord, because we love to hear you about your work in us and around us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we're all healed, we're all delivered, and we're all set free in the name of Jesus 2,000 years ago when Christ went to the cross for us. In Jesus' name. Be with us, Lord, and let us have a good night's sleep tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, everybody, and God bless you. It's a good night.
Hold on.
Hey, Mike.
God bless you.
There's one other book or...